on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, we'll be doing week one and week two observations. So we'll go around, not really go around the league, but some news items like Ja Morant getting suspended. Then you have Michael Jordan on NBC. A lot of people talk about that, so we'll get into that. LeBron James, is he checked out? We'll talk about him and the Lakers and what's happening there. Also, Phil Jackson going at Melo yet again. What's happening here? So we'll talk about that as well. And, of course, you know I got to talk about Draymond Green getting on my Knicks already. So all that and more. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And, guys, the season have started. We're some games in. Hasn't been 10 games as of yet. So I won't really go into too much other than right now you have one undefeated team left. Of course, that's the defending champs, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And you have two winless teams, the Brooklyn Nets and the New Orleans Pelicans. Not really too much of a surprise in that regard. So there's that. So a lot to get into. I quickly did want to talk about women's basketball right quick. Right now you have college basketball about to get underway. In fact, in front of me now is UConn playing, so that's about to get underway. A lot of exciting teams. Of course, UConn, of course, University of Texas. You got UCLA, LSU. Of course, Dawn Staley and her Gamecocks over there with South Carolina. So a lot of exciting basketball to be played in the women's game. So, and of course, the men as well is starting up also. Of course, you got the likes of Duke and many of the others, UConn and so forth, St. John's. And along the season, you know, I touch on those things. But as far as professional women's basketball, they have extended the deadline 30 days. So now the league and the Players Association, the Players Union, for the WNBA, have until November 30th to come up with some type of CBA that everybody can be happy with. From what I understand, the league is good with upping the salary, but not so good with the revenue sharing. And that, I think, will be a sticking point. So there's got to be a meeting of the minds when it comes to that. So we'll see what happens in that regard. Of course, I'll report on it once anything breaks. I'll let you know what's happening. And then Unrivaled. You got Unrivaled getting underway, guys. That'll be in January, but you have the players now. They listed all the players. I won't go through every single player, but I tell you who won't be there that we know of so far. Sabrina Ionescu won't be playing in Unrivaled, and rightfully so, because you got to remember, she won the championship last season, and then from there went into Unrivaled, and then from there into the season. So She's kind of taking a break, getting herself right for the 2026 WNBA season. So there you go there. So no Sabrina Ionescu in Unrivaled. And the biggest shocker, no Angel Reese in Unrivaled. And that's causing quite a stir. And remember, too, she dealt with a series of injuries towards the end of the season with the WNBA. So now she's got a lot of things in the fire. She just did the runway for Victoria's Secret. So there you go there. She's securing her bag as always, guys. And then this will give her time to be in the gym and get her game right and all those sort of things. So, of course, many of our fans aren't happy with this news, but I think for the long haul, this is the right move for her to do. So take a little time for herself, and this way she can come into the season locked in and ready. So, so there you have that. So we're going to get the teams as far as that goes. It should be 8 teams now. Not the 6 from last year. It should be 8 teams. So there you have that. So, and you have 4 new coaches, 4 holdover coaches. So there you go. But nonetheless, actually this Thursday, November 6th, I believe is when they're going to announce, either the 6th or the 7th, they're going to announce the teams, the rosters. So, of course, I'll report on that probably with next week's recap of week 3. So, there you have it. All right. So, that's the women's business. So, we'll start as I always do, guys. Your players of the week. I have for both week 1 and week 2. Week 1. Players of the week in the East, Giannis Antetokounmpo, guys. The team went 2-1 for the week, beating Washington, and went on the road to Toronto and beat them. They did lose on the road, however, to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But this is what Giannis did. 36 points. He averaged 16 rebounds and 7 assists. So spectacular numbers for Giannis in that first week of the season, thus getting player of the week in the East. In the West, Victor Wembanyama, guys, for the San Antonio Spurs. They started out 3-0, and they went 3-0 for that week. On the road, beating Dallas. On the road, beating the Pelicans. In overtime, by the way. And then at home, they shellack the Brooklyn Nets. So for the week, Wemby averaged 33.3 points per game, over 13 rebounds, and get this, 6 blocks per game. Good gracious. That's the kind of week he had, guys. So Victor Wembanyama, your player of the week in the West. And then week 2, for the East, Tyrese Maxey. Man, he's balling right now. Sixers, one of the surprise teams thus far. It's early. They went 3-1 for the week. They beat Orlando in a game where Maxey dropped the 40 piece. And then at Washington, they went to overtime to beat them, and then they beat Brooklyn at home. Their one loss was to the Boston Celtics. Actually, and that they lost on their home court for that one. But Tyrese for the week, 33.5 points per game he averaged, almost 10 assists per game, and over 5 rebounds, guys. That is the kind of work that he put in for the Sixers. And then for the West, your reigning MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Oklahoma City Thunder. The team went 4-0, guys, going on the road beating Dallas. And then in three home games, they beat Sacramento, the Washington Wizards, and New Orleans Pelicans. For the week, he averaged nearly 29 points per game, 6.5 assists, and 4.5 rebounds, guys. And with his usual efficiency from the field and so forth. So, SGA, your player of the week in the West. All right, guys. So, that is it for that. Top story, guys. Ja Morant suspended one game, guys, for conduct detrimental to the team. What conduct, you say? I have the sound and I will play it for you guys. This is the sound from Ja Morant. And this was after a game against the Lakers in which they lost, a game in which he only scored 8 points in that game, by the way, guys. Played 31 minutes, shot 3-for-14 from the field, 0-for-6 from three. Horrid. He did have 7 assists and 1 turnover, so there's that. But that was the night that Luka returned for the LA Lakers. He was out for like a week. And then Luka comes back, drops a 44 piece along with 12 rebounds and 6 assists. So absolutely demolishes Ja Morant. So after the game, this is what went down. Hang on 1 second, guys. I don't know why. I know why we're not getting sound. Sorry about that.
From the outside.
Okay.
Do you feel like, I mean, there was anything you could do different with this? I got a whole spiel of him, so. From the outside, and the outside may be wrong, but from the outside, it looked like you had your usual energy tonight.
No, I suppose so. Well,
you feel like you should play more?
No, I suppose so. Should play more.
What could have been done different to get a different outcome other than asking the coach to sit down?
According to them, probably don't play me, honestly. That's basically a message for us. Yeah, so, it's
cool. The coaches have messes with this?
Come on.
We're good. Did you have anything physically wrong from his illness or anything?
Oh, no, I'm working. Okay. I'm fine.
What went wrong?
So that is Ja Morant. He's basically saying that when he was asked, he basically said, ask the coaching staff. You know, he referred all his answers to the coaching staff, asked them what was what. So there you have it. So that right there cost him a game suspension. So basically he took no accountability for the loss and put the blame on the coaches. So with that said, let us hear him after all of this, what he had to say. Now, this is Ja Morant after the suspension and his reaction. Hang on.
I'm going to tell you all tomorrow, too.
ever heard of him?
No.
Why not? Let's see. I want to talk to him at all.
So, in summary here, again, not really taking much of accountability. A lot of finger pointing. And I think the most telling thing coming out of that was they asked him about his joy for the game. He said, in essence, it wasn't there. So, and then remember, guys, I think this doesn't get crystallized with this situation. He doesn't have his previous coach, Taylor Jenkins, who, you know, they had a close relationship, all things considered, with the suspension, all those things. They still had a relationship there that they cultivated. So in comes Tomas Isiolo. I can never get that last name right. But so his relationship with the new coaching staff, I guess you got to call into question. The whole thing with Ja, and this is why I notice he hasn't had the veteran presence around him to kind of guide him along, if you will. So, and I think it's a great thing when you have veterans there who can kind of nudge you along and show you how to do things. A lot of people look at OKC and say, oh, but look at what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, look how he's been able to flourish. Remember, guys, he came first from the Clippers over to OKC. So he did have some veterans over there with the Clippers. So he got to see, you know, how this game is played and all those sort of things before he got to OKC. And the fact that those young guys won it last year, I think that's a bigger testament to a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But, you know, I digress. So, and then put this on top of the whole beef with him and Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins went on the On the Mud podcast with guys like Tony Allen was there. Also, Zach Randolph, that podcast there. And he, Big Perk basically said, you know, him, and he was basically talking about how his relationship with players now are kind of fractured because he's in the media space. And he mentioned Ja Morant, saying how, you know, ESPN went down to Memphis to see the team and, you know, cover them. And he said a lot of that's on the strength of Kendrick Perkins, which I think that's a reach, but nonetheless, so he says, and basically making it sound like he put Ja Morant on the map and not his play itself, which of course he's gotten a lot of heat and ridicule over saying that sort of stuff. Even so, Ja himself responded back on Twitter or X. So there's that. So you add all that along with this, and I'm of the camp that I think I've mentioned it before. I think you're in a space now where you have to move Ja Morant. don't know if this relationship can be fixed between him and the coaching staff. So I think there comes a time where a guy just has to move on. Where do you move him? Glad you asked. I have the perfect trade to put forth here. Take Ja Morant and Zach Edey. I understand he's injured right now. He has the ankle injury. He's healing from that. But you take those two guys and package them to New Orleans, to the Pelicans, in exchange for Zion Williamson and Jeremy Fears. That would be the trade I make if I am the Memphis Grizzlies. At least coming back to me, I'm getting Zion Williamson. I understand you have Jaren Jackson Jr. He's going to have to slide to the center position. And you have Zion play your four, Jaren Jackson Jr. play your five. And then with Jeremy Fears, you're getting a young player, a rookie, in fact, point guard, that can come in and kind of, kind of solve your problems at the point guard position for the moment. And I would bring in a vet, some kind of vet, to come in and kind of mentor him. What vet would you bring in? That's a whole nother issue there, because it's not too many veteran point guards that are sitting on their couch that you can bring in to mentor him. Be nice you have a guy like a Kyle Lowry there to kind of bring him along. That would be great. Or a guy like Chris Paul. But those guys you probably can't get. So I would definitely do that. But that's a trade I would consider. And for New Orleans, you're getting an exciting player coming back. I understand. I get it. You already got Jordan Poole, who, he's a wild card as it is, as far as that goes. You got DeJounte Murray, who's hurt, who's supposed to be back probably in 2026. So that'll present an interesting dilemma. But, hey, you're giving Ja a change of scenery. You bring him to a team that he's going to have to elevate and lift these guys. So I think that's where we're at with this. So we'll see what happens, but I think they're in a situation now where it's just not good. It's just not good. So we'll see what happens, but that's the bit of job business there. Let's continue. Injuries, guys. Got a laundry list of injuries. I'm going to try and go through them right quick. Hopefully this week you'll get a Darius Garland back. Remember, he had the injury coming into the season. Things are looking good where he may make his debut this week. We'll see. Paul George is still, his situation is up in the air with the knee. So that's a situation that bears watching. So let's go through this list. Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks out for 4 weeks, guys. Sprained MCL that happened in the first quarter on October 29th versus Brooklyn Nets at Barclay. So Trae Young, big blow for them, guys. More likely than not, you'll see a Nickeil Alexander-Walker get some more minutes, possibly playing that point guard position, or at least filling in at the guard position. So we'll see what happens there. Let us continue. Ben Mathurin out and considered week to week with a toe injury. Now, couple that with Andrew Nembhard. He's hurt as well, guys, and he's going to miss some time. So, and this happened on October 25th, and mind you, Nembhard's injury happened on opening night. So there you have that. But a bit of bad news for the Indiana Pacers. So you'll see guys like Ben Shepherd get some more minutes. Guys like Quentin Jackson, who's actually played well thus far, filling in. So already, Indiana, mind you, remember, they lost Tyrese Haliburton for the season with the torn ACL. So this doesn't bode well for the Pacers. So we'll see what happens, guys. So that's the Pacers story. Let us continue. Anthony Edwards, guys. He's going to miss 2 weeks for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Hamstring. He suffered that against the, believe it or not, the same game between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Indiana Pacers. So he's going to miss 2 weeks, guys. So in the interim, you'll see guys like Dante DiVincenzo get a little more burn, so, and get some more shots up. Of course, Julius Randle, he'll see his shots go up, and Jaden McDaniels as well. So it'll be a group effort. It's going to have to be until the Ant-Man is ready to get back on the court. So, yeah, definitely a devastating blow, but 2 weeks, you kind of man the ship until he gets back. Anthony Davis, he's out for 2 games and possibly more with a calf strain for the Dallas Mavericks. And this happened on October 29th in a game versus the Indiana Pacers. Seemed like everybody getting hurt against the Pacers. So he'll miss time. He's missed 2 games thus far. PJ Washington immediately steps in and fills those shoes for the Mavericks. So Anthony Davis starting off on the wrong foot, so to speak, with the calf strain. But thankfully, it's not a prolonged injury, so you'll see him back soon. Let's go on. OKC, they got a couple of guys dealing with injuries. Jalen Williams have yet to play the season with the wrist injury. In fact, he underwent surgery to remove the screws from that wrist. And he'll be evaluated in 10 to 14 days. So we're going to have to wait, guys, till possibly mid to late November, we'll get to see Jalen Williams. So if you have him in fantasy basketball, you just got to hold him in that injury list spot until he's ready. So there you go. And then Chet Holmgren, guys, he's missed 3 games thus far with a back injury, which he sustained on October 27th against the Dallas Mavericks. So Chet Holmgren missing time with a back injury. So more likely than not, I'd say a Hartenstein, he'll man your center position, and more than likely, Cason Wallace will enter the starting lineup for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So there you go. But even with that, guys, they're undefeated thus far. So, and that's just a tribute to the depth that they have, guys. So there you have that. Let us continue. What would be a year without a LaMelo Ball injury, guys? He suffers an ankle injury on a November 1st game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So they have him miss the second game of a back-to-back. So they're going to treat him with kid gloves, guys, because he has a long injury history list. So they're going to stay on the side of caution, guys, with him, and rightfully so. So LaMelo Ball, ankle injury, we'll see what happens there. Let us continue. De'Aaron Fox have yet to play, guys. He's dealing with that hamstring, so still no real timetable as to when he'll get back. Maybe late November, we'll see. Possibly mid, all depends. But De'Aaron Fox for the San Antonio Spurs. And in the interim, of course, you have guys like Stephon Castle, and you have Devin Vassell in your backcourt until De'Aaron Fox is ready. Let us continue. Joel Embiid, not hurt, guys, but they do have him on a minutes restriction, guys. He's playing 20 to 25 minutes. And thus far, he has played in 3 of the first 5 games, guys. So that's good news. And of course, you know, any back-to-backs, he won't play back-to-backs. So they're being very, very cautious with him. And of course, in the interim, and Andre Drummond, of course, will start for him. Adem Bona, he's the other center. So you'll get a steady diet of those two guys to fill in for Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid's been playing good so far with the limited minutes, so we'll see. And the team has responded, so that's a good thing. So there you have that. Let us move on. Speaking of the Charlotte Hornets with the LaMelo Ball injury, Brandon Miller. He's dealing with a shoulder injury for the Hornets, guys. He's missed 5 games thus far. He last played October 25th in a loss to Philly. So in the interim, of course, you'll have a guy like Colin Sexton come in and fill in for Miller until he's ready. So there you have that. Let us continue. And speaking of the San Antonio Spurs, their young promising rookie, Dylan Harper. Then this just came down the pike, guys. He's going to be out multiple weeks with a calf strain, guys. And this happened on November 2nd at the Phoenix Suns in the second quarter. He sustained this injury. So Dylan Harper is going to miss some time, guys. So, of course, like I said, you'll Devin Vassell see more minutes, probably Keldon Johnson as well coming off your bench. He'll see some time as well. So, but tough blow for the rookie. So we'll see what happens with him. The Utah Jazz, Walker Kessler, guys, has bursitis in his shoulder. And he could miss 4 games of their current road trip. So if that's the case, of course, they'll go with Joseph Nurkic to fill in his starting spot. So Walker Kessler dealing with a shoulder injury, guys, and could miss 4 games at least. We'll see what happens from there. Let's continue. I talked about Darius Garland getting closer to getting back. He has a toe injury, missed 7 games thus far. Norman Powell has a groin injury, guys. Thus far, he's missed 3 games and counting, so keep an eye out on that. Guys like Pelly Larson, guys like Tommy Hawkins Jr., they're seeing more time in Powell's absence, so there you have that. Hopefully, more sooner than later, you'll see Norman Powell back on the court. Kevin Porter Jr., guys, while ramping up to get back on the court after his ankle strain, him straining his ankle, spraining rather, he injures his meniscus. Now he's out for a month, guys. So tough blow for Kevin Porter Jr., who was given the starting point guard position for the Milwaukee Bucks. Now Ryan Rollins, now guys, I told you guys in the training camp episode that I thought Ryan Rollins played very well for them last season. I thought he should have got the starting point guard job. But you know what? He has it now. And he's playing well, guys. So I think he had – I think it's safe to say it's early, but he may have this position on lock even when Kevin Porter Jr. comes back. So seems like the combination of Rollins and Cole Anthony coming off your bench has provided a spark for the Milwaukee Bucks. So for the moment, Kevin Porter Jr. out for a month. So we'll see what happens there. And then the last one I'll talk about, Jalen Green for the Phoenix Suns. He has yet to play a game, guys. Hamstring injury. And he's missed 7 games thus far. Of course, you'll use guys like Grayson Allen. They'll step in the interim while Jalen Green gets himself right. So we'll see what happens there. All right, guys. So that is the injuries thus far. Let us continue. Michael Jordan. He is now on NBC as a special contributor, guys. And what they do is, during the halftime, they'll give you a segment. So it seems like him and Mike Tirico had a sit down. It seems probably just before the season began. So what they're doing is they're taking that interview and taking parts of it and dropping it in during their halftimes of their broadcast on NBC. By the way, NBC is doing a great job with their broadcasts, doing a very good job. I like the trio of Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter, and Carmelo Anthony. I like their chemistry thus far. And of course, quarterbacking that squad is the very talented Maria Taylor, who we know she does the football stuff for them, their Sunday night games. So now she's doing the NBA as well. So she's got all the bases covered, guys. But getting back to Michael Jordan. So he's a special contributor. That's his title, right? And thus far, he's talked about, you know, why he's doing this. The first week, he's talking about why he's signed on to be a special contributor. He said it's his way of giving back to the game, you know, a way of him paying it forward for all that basketball has given him, which, you know, that's fair. You know, he's accumulated fame, wealth, and all the things through the game of basketball. So this is his way of giving back. So that was the first week. Second week, the series is called Michael Jordan Insights to Excellence. That's the name of the series. So, but week two, he talked about load management, guys. And of course, this sparked much debate as far as that goes. And a lot of us know how Michael Jordan feel about the whole load management thing. I don't think you're telling any trade secrets by stating that Jordan doesn't like load management. He does not like it. So of course, everybody's going nuts hearing him say that. I'm be honest, it shouldn't be a surprise. It should not be a surprise to anyone. He said it when he was a player. He said it during his Hall of Fame speech. He said it to the likes of a Kobe Bryant, who's, oh, by the way, he's adopted that same attitude when it comes to wanting to make himself available to play games. So it's not really a surprise. So he's not breaking any trade secrets. So for people's hair to be on fire about this, I don't get it. But here is the boys from the Odd Couple talking about it. And I'm going to get your feedback from this. Hang on one second.
Go on, all NBC. I love the idea of trying to get a big star. And we capture what happened in the 90s, right? With Michael Jordan and the whole NBC. I get all that. What they're trying to do, they got Bob Constant doing the intros. Like, they've gone all the way out to try to get this right. But I'm disappointed in the MJ segments. In that everything's like a throwback. He's not talking about the current players. Come on, man. Give me. I want to hear Michael Jordan's perspective about what he's seeing with the current players. Now, it looks like, and maybe I'm wrong, I'll be wrong, and he'll give some fresh interviews, but it looks like he sat down, did a big interview, and they're just cutting pieces, and they're going to play that every Michael Jordan appearance rather than something fresh and new or something. I want to hear, okay? Not Michael Jordan was involved in, in some gambling or whatever.
He wasn't going here.
No, I know. I know you want to go here.
All right, so that's enough of that. So Rob Parker wants to basically hear from him as far as today's NBA. I mean, with the load management stuff, that's part of today's NBA, so there's that. But he wants to hear fresh analysis about the players and so forth. Maybe, from the games that's being played and all that sort of stuff. And I got to say, yeah, I think you do the public a disservice if it's going to be that sit down and you just carving out parts of it and giving it to the public. I think that's a disservice. I think people do want to hear, oh, how do you feel? Well, I don't think you're going to get his view on the gambling because it hits too close to home. I'm just saying. But yeah, I think as far as his views on a guy like Ant-Man, his views on a guy like SGA, who I think is more closer to his skill set than any player in the league right now. His views on, it's a variety of players and a variety of situations. So even now with this Ja Morant thing, you want to get his insight on that. So I think in a way it is kind of wasted because you're not getting the hot topics of the day from his perspective. So I think they could do better with that. Will they? We'll see. But, it's kind of early. So, I want to cut them some slack, give them some grace. But I think people want to see. They want to hear what his takes on what's happening now as far as the league goes, to play on the court and all that sort of stuff. So there you have that. So that is that bit of business. Let us move on. LeBron James. A lot of people has made, people got a lot of time on their hands, guys. They see LeBron on the sidelines during Laker games. They say he's checked out. They say, maybe he doesn't want the team to do so good. I think that's a stretch. I think, because you got to remember, Bronny is on this team, so I don't think he wants to see a team struggling with a son on the team. I think that's stretching it a bit. But what I will say, do people want him to be on the sideline carrying on like, let's say, Caitlin Clark, who, she's very animated on the sidelines. Every time a shot goes, she's doing the pistol thing. She's going after refs. you know, and all those sort of things. Do y'all want LeBron doing that sort of stuff? I don't know if you do. So I think he's being a good enough teammate, being there with the guys. I mean, he could be not on the bench and somewhere else, you know, say, oh, I'm getting treated for my sciatica in my back or wherever. So there's that. But here's my bigger question. What happens when he's healthy enough to play? Now, some people have floated the idea thus far. It's early, I know. But as well as Austin Reeves played, especially when Luka was out for the week with his injury. So is it time to make Austin Reeves the second option? Because this is something that Ramona Shelburne, very well respected as far as her basketball expertise, she floated that idea while on NBA Today on ESPN. So, and if that's the case, where does that leave LeBron when he comes back? Because you know Luka's going to be the number one option now. And then from there, do you make it Austin Reeves or LeBron when he comes back? So, guys, and the team looks good. I'm going to say that. The team looks good so far. It's early. You know, I get it. It's early. But they look good so far. And then not only, well, Ramona Shelburne talked about AR being the second option, but on the Baja podcast, I never even heard of this podcast until recently, with Theo Pinson, Raymond Felton's on there, Charlie Villanueva and others. They have this clip that's out there talking about maybe LeBron should be traded. Will that happen? I'm of the mindset that I don't think he'll be traded unless he says he wants out of there. And then I'm going to tell you something. If he were to say that to them and say, wherever I go, you got to trade my son with me, I think that's where Rob Pelinka has to kind of draw the line. Like, no, we like the kid here. So I used to say it was a package deal. I'm not so sure right now. So it seems like he's playing with a little bounce. He's playing with some enthusiasm there for the Lakers. And it seems like his game is growing slowly but surely. So I think there could be a case where LeBron is on the move and not necessarily Bronny's on the move. So, but I think it's premature to even talk this LeBron James being traded talk. I think it's, let's see him get healthy and back on the court first. I don't think it'll be a scenario where he doesn't play a game at all for the Lakers and he moves on. I don't see that. So there you have that. So let us continue. Draymond Green. You know, this guy, I'm always, he never fails me in providing content. He never fails me whatsoever. So he goes and says, you know, it's early in the season and he's already counted out the Knicks as contenders in his mind. He doesn't see them as contenders at all. So I'm going to pull up for you the clip in which he says this nonsense. I know I have it here. What's wrong with, no. No, that's not it. Hang on a second. Give me one. Oh, yeah, that's okay. Here is Draymond, of course, talking about my Knicks. Of course, it's Knicks for clicks. And here we go.
For me personally, the Knicks, I just don't believe that they're contenders. I don't think they have what it takes to win at the highest level. I think you can stifle their offense and make it hard on them. Anytime you have a couple guys on the floor at the same time that's really key guys and don't really want to defend, it makes it tough to win at the highest level. And so that's kind of my question with the Knicks.
Draymond. So, you know, he has this little funky podcast that he does during the season, by the way, guys. So there's that. I can't take anything he says serious when it comes to his analysis. I really can't, because this is the same man who had this to say about the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is what he had to say about them.
But the one thing I see with the OKC team that it's a little alarming for me is like their post game. It's like seven guys in the interview. Like there's a certain seriousness that it takes to win in this league. And there's a certain fear you have to instill in a team, in teams, in order to win. And I just don't know if they're instilling that fear in teams with all the bromance and stuff after the game. Like, bro, we all the bros, it's the homies. Like, that's cool. There's a time and a place for that. But after every time somebody's in the interview, you got seven guys, eight guys. Then you got the same seven, eight guys with a picture with Josh Giddey right after they play. Like, again, I'm all for having fun. Like, it's an 82-game season. You should have fun. But you also have to understand when people are looking at you to be in the team, and you have to understand when your moment is.
Now, Draymond, that team you're talking about, did we not just witness them win the entire thing this last season? So it seems like the bromance thing is working for them. It's working for them to the tune of an NBA championship. So Draymond, again, you know, you got your podcast, you put out all this ridiculousness on there, and you sound foolish. So in the end, that clip about the Knicks may age like sour milk, like that comment just now. I'm just saying. So again, it's Knicks for clicks. We know, you know, you won't go on a Nick podcast and talk that craziness. In fact, CP the franchise invited you to Knicks Fan TV and you weaseled out last minute. So you could talk that nonsense on your podcast, but you won't come to a Knicks space and say that same craziness. I'm just saying. So there you go. You know, I got to get on Draymond. And then the last thing, and then we'll cut it off for now. Phil Jackson, you know, he's making the rounds now. He's got a book that's coming out and so on and so forth. He doesn't watch today's NBA. He's not even enthralled with it whatsoever. This is a guy who's dedicated his life to the game, but there you have that. So he, in his book, he talks about Carmelo Anthony being in New York, why that didn't work and all this sort of stuff and all this just craziness. So, of course, you're going to get a response, and this is the response of Melo concerning the Phil Jackson stuff. Listen.
Phil Jackson put his book out. He said something along the lines of, like, his tenure didn't go well was because of you. I'm sick of these folks. It's so much, man. It's bugged out, man. Like,
What are we doing here? As a man, if I was that much of a hindrance to you, why didn't you have a conversation with me when I was there? Mm. Instead of bringing me in the office, showing me Michael Jordan clips of the triangle and telling me what not to do in the triangle because he did it wrong. This that he told me. Instead of doing that, let's have a real man conversation. Melo, listen, I want to go in a different direction. We had a poorly structured teams, rosters those years. And you was at the helm of that. Nobody told you. Who told you? You had this vision of wanting to play in a certain type of system, which is the triangle, which I love the triangle offense. Phil Jackson put off at the time. It didn't fit the style of the NBA. We was a laughing stock of the NBA for being in the triangle. And I had to fight that. And I had to take those bullets. Not you, Phil Jackson. While I'm taking those bullets, you are in the stands tweeting. Talking about Mel breaking the triangle. This is the shit that I had to do.
Yeah.
I never spoke on him. I never spoke about him. I had probably 3 conversations with the band that holds this whole tenure.
Really?
Man, we didn't have a relationship.
Mm.
So if I was that much of a hindrance to you, you should have came to me and said it instead of telling me to bear with you. Rock with me. Stay with me. I got you. Bear with me. We're going to fix this. We're going to do. Okay, cool. I don't want that job. I don't want anything. Just tell me who I'm playing with. Tell me who's on the court with me, and that's it. At the time.
So there's more of it, but I think that's enough. Phil Jackson, what are you doing? What are you doing? I know you're trying to sell a book and all these sort of things, but, and he's right, because he further says, if you didn't like what was going on, come down and coach the team yourself. So for you to want to employ the triangle through another coach and not yourself, it's hard to get players to buy in when that's the case. So, and you know, Phil, he likes to play the mind games. He likes to, you know, go to the media and talk about players and so forth instead of confronting that player. A lot of passive aggressive things he like to do. So, again, he's trying to sell a book, so you know how these things go. But kudos to Melo. You know, he handled it in the right way, you know, not going too crazy about it, but making his piece, his side of it be known. So there you have that. All right, guys, so I'm going to cut it off there. You know, still more stuff you couldn't be said, but I'll leave it where it is. So I thank you for listening, as always. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There, videos, clips, you'll find there. YouTube, my page there, of course, has the clips and the full video episodes as well. Also, guys, podcast platforms, I'm on all of them. Apple, Spotify, the whole thing. So there you have that. LinkedIn, I put my stuff on LinkedIn as well, as far as the links to the website and social media, Instagram, TikTok, some Blue Sky, some Facebook. That's it. Thank you for listening, guys, as always. Ooh, excuse me. Sorry. And donate, guys. My Cash App is down there, $GD, that sports dude. My donate button's on the website. There I got PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, Spotify, donate, all the things. All right, guys, I thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk soon. Take care.